Check one, two.
Good.
You ready?
This is all...
Hey, it's Cassidy Pope, Gabby Barrett.
It's Darius Rucker.
Country.
Hey, y'all, this is Luke Bryan.
We're Runaway June.
Scotty McCreary.
Hey, it's Russell Dickerson here.
News.
Big news for CMA Fest 2024. New music from Casey Musgraves and an interview with Sam Groh. I'm Rebecca Porter, and here's everything you need to know in country music for the week of March 18th, 2024. This week's episode of the All Country News Podcast is brought to you by Good Sentiments, the candle line partnering with your favorite artists to create custom scents that benefit the charity of their choice. Get yours at shopgoodsentiments.com now. And now for the hottest news in country this week. Have to kick things off with CMA Fest 2024 news. That'll be taking place in Nashville June 6th through the 9th this year, and the lineup has officially been announced, and it is absolutely stellar. It includes powerhouses like Kelsey Ballerini, Brothers Osborne, Luke Bryan, Jordan Davis, Jelly Roll, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Ashton McBride, Megan Maroney, Carly Pierce, The Warren Treaty, Keith Urban, Lainey Wilson. The list goes on and on. Make sure you head to our site now to check out how you can get tickets. Those are already on sale, so make sure you get on it if you want to attend, and you can check out the full lineup. The inductees for this year's Country Music Hall of Fame nominees have been announced. They'll be honoring the late Toby Keith, as well as James Burton and John Anderson. A formal induction ceremony will be taking place at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in the CMA Theater this October. Stay tuned for more details, but for now, you can watch the full press conference up on our site. Thomas Rhett recently sat down with Bobby Bones to talk about Mama's House, his number one hit with Morgan Wallen, and how the song came to be. He said, "We were writing a whole different song, and then he got a call from his grandmother, and that is what you hear in the opening of the song. He called her Mama, then he got back to the computer we were writing on via Zoom. This was back in 2020, and I told Morgan, I didn't know you had a Mama. Then he said, yeah, she lives in Knoxville. I then said, wow, I got a Mama too, and she lives in Knoxville. All of a sudden, it kind of clicked." It's really incredible to get a sneak peek into behind the scenes. Not a lot of artists share how their songs come to be. Sometimes they're self-explanatory, and this one, obviously, we know it is about Mama, but it's really special to see how it came together. You can check out the full video up on allcountrynews.com now. Breakout country singer Steven Wilson Jr. solidified his star power at his sold-out Chicago show. The Southern Indiana native managed to make his acoustic show an electric one through story and sound, and we were there to give you the full rundown. Make sure you head to allcountrynews.com now to check out our full takeover. That's not the only night we took over. We also were at Country Night in Venice, California. This event is for all of my West Coast listeners. This was so amazing. You will not believe all the fun that was had. There were milk chugging contests and dancers and flash tattoos. I mean, there was so much fun going on. Check out the full rundown on allcountrynews.com now. Next up, I have the heartwarmer of the week for you. Rising country star Vincent Mason received a shout out from Parker McCollum at a recent show. He actually opened up for McCollum, and when it was Parker's turn to get on stage, he said that he was totally humble and had amazing songwriting skills. Vincent posted the video up on his socials, and it is the sweetest thing ever. You can also check it out over on our page. Again, it is definitely emotional, so for those of you who get easily misty-eyed like me, make sure you grab a Kleenex. All right, all my Eric Church fans listening, I have the most exciting announcement for you. He recently just confirmed that he will be playing 19 shows at his new bar called Chiefs. He'll be doing a residency there, which will kick off April 5th. And he said it's the most unique show he'll probably ever do. We've got all the details on how you can get tickets. This is a show you're not going to want to miss out on. So if you've been wanting to travel to Nashville or live in the area, you are going to want to get on this. Public on sale is this Friday. I have a ton of new music teasers for you, kicking things off with Wyatt Flores, who is coming back swinging after taking a break and is teasing his new song, I Wish I Could Stay. Now, it's just a little taste, but you can listen to that up on our site, and it's going to have you wanting more. Next, we have Morgan Wallen, who teased his new track, Redneck, and to me, I'm so surprised that he's jumping back into new music this quickly. It feels like he released his last album, which had so many songs on it. And I mean that in a good way. I love when an artist releases a really jam-packed full album. I mean, if you've got a lot to say, then of course, as fans, we want to hear it. But this sneak peek is so great. It's a really great look into what we have to expect from him. So make sure you check that out. And as if that wasn't already exciting enough, Luke Combs teased 2 new tracks. And, you know, is a new album on the way? I mean, I think so. He's been sharing so much with us lately. I feel like it has to be. But make sure you head to our site to check out those 2 new songs he's teasing. Again, you can check that out on allcountrynews.com. And speaking of Luke Combs, Post Malone teased another new track off his upcoming country project, and it was a snippet of a duet with Luke. So I, for one, totally excited about this. I love seeing artists move through genres. You know, I feel like a lot of people in the industry and a lot of fans as well, you know, there's a lot of trepidation about people moving through genres, but I think music is meant to be sampled and blended. And, you know, it's such a unifier. And I don't think we should ever box anyone into one thing. The snippet sounds fantastic. Make sure you head to our site now to give it a listen or up on our socials now. Let's get to some new music this week. Gotta kick things off with Kacey Musgraves and the release of her new album, Deeper Well. It is honestly perfection. I mean, I'm such a huge fan of hers, so I basically knew I was gonna like this album already. I mean, she released Deeper Well and Too Good to Be True before the album came out, and they both were perfection. The album has such an incredible vibe. It's perfect for spring, which is gonna take us all the way through summer and deep into the fall. And I think this really could have also been released in the fall as well. And if you listen to it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But again, the album is top to bottom perfection. The visuals for it are just insane. It's such a stark contrast from Starcrossed, but in the coolest way. And this is the album that you're going to want to play, you know, when you're reading a book, when you're winding down, if you're making dinner with a glass of wine. It's so good. There's so many incredible songs on it. And she just released a bonus track yesterday called Ruthless, which is all about, you know, being there for the ones you love. Like, you'll be ruthless in supporting them. It's so incredible. My personal favorite track is The Architect. It's hands down just a standout for me. But also Dinner with Friends is really sweet. And of course, title track Deeper Well, we've all heard it. We all know it and love it. Anime Eyes is another really cool one. That one's for all my lovebirds out there. And Lonely Millionaire kicks off with this really cool R&B type vibe. Again, make sure you listen to it top to bottom. And while you're at it, make sure you head to her store to check that out. She's got a lot of cool things, including like a zine and some really special new merch that you can get, as well as some limited edition covers for the vinyl. Next up, we have Sam Barber with his Blue Collar Tales in the intoxicating new song, Streetlight. And it narrates the tale of a man who wants to see the world, yet realizing what he had is truly home. He taps into the vagabond dreamer in all of us with such maturity. And the song is just really special. Make sure you give it a listen. Cameron Marlowe dropped exciting details about his upcoming sophomore album and gifted us the title track, Keeping the Lights On. He put a really great post up on his socials, so if you haven't watched it yet, make sure that you do. The album will be out May 31st, and the title track is a really special look into what the album is going to bring. He has been taking over everywhere, so I know the second album is definitely going to take him that much farther. Make sure you check it out. Ernest is back, and he is giving us 5 new tracks off his upcoming album titled Nashville, Tennessee. You can pre-save the album now, which comes out April 12th. And like I said, you can stream the first 5 songs. I have never seen an artist release this many songs for a new album, so that's pretty stellar for fans. And it's pretty cool because this album, not only is it named after Nashville, but you're probably thinking, well, we're already going to have heard almost half the album, but you're not, because this album is 26 tracks long. He's taking a page out of the Miranda Lambert and Morgan Wallen book with the length. I, for one, cannot wait to hear it. Ernest has been blowing up everywhere, and rightfully so, and these 5 tracks are a really killer look into what the album's going to be like. They're all super special, and there's even some exciting features like Lucas Nelson. Amanda Kate Ferris teamed up with CMA Musician of the Year, Jenny Fleener, and it's for a cheeky new song titled, Are You a Real Cowboy? I love the visuals for this one too, so if you're going to listen to it, you might as well just go check out the video as well. Super fun and super true roots country. If that's your vibe, you're going to love this one. Chase Beckham is giving us a sneak peek into what's to come in his upcoming album, Bad For Me. That'll be released on April 5th. For now, we're being tided over with Waylon in 75, his first single off the album, and it's so special. If you've been listening the last couple years, you know I'm such a fan of this guy. I think he has such star potential. He was on American Idol. If you didn't watch him on there, I highly recommend you going and looking up some YouTube clips. The guy always kills it. Again, he's got major star power. Make sure you check this one out. Ian Munsick released a heartbreaking cowboy ballad. It's titled Yippee-I-A, and I think he has such an incredibly unique voice. It reminds me a lot of Dan and Shay, but very much still his own, and I love a ballad, and he absolutely knocks this one out of the park. Another one to add to your must-listen playlist for the week. David Nail pays homage to his late grandfather in his tender new song, If I Could Call. This one will definitely have you all in your feels. Got me a little misty. If you've lost anyone, this song will definitely resonate with you. Super beautiful release. Make sure you check it out. Next up, we have Abby Cohn, who is reliving her time at the Mother Church in Hallelujah Live from the Ryman. This girl, I cannot say enough about her. Not only is she an incredible artist, but she's also one of the sweetest human beings I've ever had the pleasure of coming into contact with. She is a star. She is one to watch out for. I'm telling you, make sure you hop on the Abby Cohn train now, because she is taking off. Tyler Hubbard released an upbeat take on love with his new track Vegas in advance of his album Strong, which is coming out April 12th. And I love an upbeat track, especially when we know a new album's coming out. Like, to get me into it, I want something a little more upbeat. And this is such an incredible song to add to your weekend playlist. Make sure you give it a listen. Kristen Kelly released her latest album, Warrior, and it captures her independent spirit perfectly. It's a really great album, and it reminds me a lot of, like, older country, and when I say older, I mean like very early 2000s, late 90s. It's giving me a total like Shania Twain, Faith Hill vibe, which I live for because I grew up listening to those ladies. So if that's your vibe, you're gonna love this one. Make sure you check it out. Emerging artist Robbie Johnson showcases his rock-infused country in his latest single, Hell of a Ride. And this one is hands down, as I said, rock infused. If that's your vibe, you're going to be all over this one. He has a really powerful, gritty vocal on this. You can feel the emotion, and without being too punny, it's going to take you on a hell of a ride. You can listen to all the new music out this month on our All Country News Spotify playlist. Next, we need to talk about our video of the week.
Video of the week.
This week's video is from Ol' 60, Smoke and Light. It's a lyric video, but it's super powerful. It's got like a gray, black and white twinge to it. And this guy's vocals are literally insane. He's got some serious pipes on him. So this one's super fun to watch. Make sure you check that out over on allcountrynews.com or anywhere you follow us on social media. And now I'm so excited to throw it over to Bobby Dixon and Sam Groh.
To kick it off by chatting about Avalon Avenue. I think it's so fun. It's so you. But why did you decide to kick off the year with an album? You know, it's so early in the year. And how did you know that it was kind of time to release another album?
You know, we try to stay consistent on putting out a song every 6 weeks. I don't like anybody who listens to my music to have to kind of lay stagnant with some of the songs. So I knew at the beginning of last year that I was going to try to put out songs every 6 weeks, and just how the scheduling lined up, it allowed me to put the album out at the top of the year, which is cool. It works good for me because it gave me a little bit of breathing room to go and start my next record. And I've already recorded 3 from there. So my next single comes out in March.
Jesus, you just like don't sleep. Good Lord.
Gotta keep it going while I got the chance.
I love it. I love that mindset though. I love that you bring in your fans. You're like, you don't want your fans to wait long for music. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that mindset?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I'm probably one of the biggest Brooks and Dunn fans there are. And if Ronnie Dunn ever announced that he put out a new song every Friday, every single Friday, I would be going to listen. So I think that when we're in a time of music where we can and we're allowed to put out music as much as we want and be extremely overly creative and be able to go in and have studios more accessible than ever, streaming aspects and releasing of singles to be more accessible than ever, why wouldn't you take advantage of being able to give more art and allow your listeners to have something new to listen to on a regular basis? For me, it's like a little bit of a fishing net casting, because I can do my normal down the middle, what people are used to hearing me do, and then in other singles I can try something different and kind of cast out different nets. So if I can, you know, fish as much as possible, I'm going to.
I love that. Then you're going to love my new tattoo, because it is a Brooks and Dunn tattoo.
Hell yeah. Oh, let's go. That's badass. That's so badass.
Yeah, that was like a spur of the minute decision. I mean, I'm all tatted since the last time. I have like 7 now. So the bug hit me. I got this little guy on a whim on my hand. So we're ready to rock. But, you know, I love that you are constantly, you know, casting out that net and kind of evolving. How do you feel like this new album challenged you, though?
Oh, so many challenges. One, I was so lucky. My old producer, Noah Gordon, he left the label, Average Joe's, that I'm signed to, and he started his own label. And in that movement, he was no longer allowed to really produce me anymore. So, which is why my records have now been all self-produced. Noah was kind enough to teach me a lot in those sessions. But then when he moved to Muscle Shoals to start his label, he texted me one day and said, "Hey, do you want to come and write with some of my writers?" Which, of course, I jumped at the chance. And one of those writes was with James LeBlanc at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, which, if you're a Lynyrd Skynyrd or Allman Brothers fan like me, that's like the mecca, you know, to go to. And luckily, while I was there, me and James got a really good song. And then he took me kind of around the town, and I just started to really get into the vibe there, and I just loved it. And I'm in this mode now where I'm doing travel records, and I just like to go different places and kind of tap into the muse of the towns and think about what people would go through if they live there. And so I decided to stick around, and luckily Fame Studios was kind enough to let me record half the record there and write pretty much all of my record there. And if you got a chance to be around, you know, those kind of, that kind of magic in the walls, I take advantage of it, but really trying to stay true with the Muscle Shoals kind of live band sound and, you know, writing style, which is why James is a co-writer on a lot of my stuff. James has been there since the 90s. So he's basically a local there at Muscle Shoals. And I just wanted to make sure I can make it as authentic as possible. So the challenge to me was trying to integrate my sound in with kind of the sound of what Fame Studios created. So, but I feel like we pulled it off.
I love it. I love that you bring up the Allman Brothers, because I literally, like, 2 weeks ago just took my mom to see the Allman Betts Family Revival.
Oh, wow.
I was able to, like, coordinate, like, for my mother to meet them. And
that's amazing.
I think my mom, like, I don't think my mom will ever be able to live it down. So I love that you're a fan of that too, because I definitely feel that vibe, that little more of like jam band, you know, it's Southern rock kind of thing. But you know, you chose these 12 songs. Why do you feel like these 12 songs kind of belonged on this record? Were there any that you had to fight for? I know you mentioned you like wrote everything there, but I'm sure there were a couple of duds. Right? Like, there's always gotta be a couple.
For me, the challenge that I had in this was picking the 12, not necessarily because there was duds, but because we had an over amount of songs that I really wanted to cut. So I got really lucky. I made really good friends with some amazing songwriters when I first came to town, and I've stayed in touch with those guys, and they've become family to me. So I rented a house in Florence, Alabama, which is the one town over from Muscle Shoals, invited Steve Bogard, invited Bryce Long, invited James LeBlanc, Johnny Gates, Alexandria Korn, Brandon Manley, Blake Wood. So a bunch of like newly successful songwriters and also legend songwriters. So the shortage on songs was not a problem, because they don't write duds. Which is why I have some outsides on this record. You know, Johnny Gates being a 100% write with Loretta Lynn. I cut that song. And then Sweet Jane, another one of my favorite songs that happened at the retreat. I wasn't in the room, but that was Acorn, Bryce Long, and James LeBlanc. I was downstairs writing. They were upstairs writing. So I walked upstairs and heard James singing that work tape and was like, oh my God, I have to record that song. So yeah, no, we were lucky in this aspect. There's other songs that I still have in the can that I might put out later and do like a vault thing, you know? And that's kind of the idea on some of these records, is we can go back and reimagine Avalon Avenue, and then I can add four or five more songs from the vault of what was supposed to make that record.
Yeah, I love that. So you kind of created your own little writer's retreat. I love it. But you're like, we're only going to do it for my project.
yeah, legit.
legit. I love that you bring up Sweet Jane, because I think one of my favorite things to do when I'm sent a new record, or, you know, when I dive into a record, when it first comes out, is just look through the track list and see what jumps out to me. And Sweet Jane was the first song that jumped out to me. And now that you're bringing up like Allman Brothers, I'm like, oh my God, like that even sounds like something that they would put out. So, you know, you kind of already hinted at, you walked upstairs and you heard this song. So like, what was your initial reaction, and why did it make that 12 out of all of those other non-duds?
So it does remind me of, you know, Skinner, Allman Brothers. They had a way of taking a topic and turning it into a muse. Sweet Jane comes from a brand of a cigar that I smoke from Deadwood Tobacco Company called Sweet Jane. Acorn saw the band after Brad was like, you need to write a cigar song. And he said, Sweet Jane is one of them. So Acorn took that into the writing room, and then they just created, of course, is James LeBlanc and Bryce Long. Acorn brings a fresher, thing to the table, but when you have two guys right there that have just been writing songs forever and have just a honed in talent like they do, it just fell out, and it encaptured that vibe of what, you know, a band in Muscle Shoals would cut. And then also it has like a Roy Orbison type of back vibe and backbeat. And my dad, who I lost September of 2018, was the biggest Roy Orbison fan. So actually the first time I heard James singing it, I ran up there, let him finish the rest of the work tape, and then asked him to play it for me. And as he was playing, I just like cried. And I was like, man, I have to be able to have this song a part of my life forever and be able to have the chance to play it, you know, at some shows and select shows. So it was that was an easy pick for me.
Awesome. Well, clearly I picked the right one to be drawn to. I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
I love it. But why?
It's such a special moment on the record.
Right. Why was it so important for you to get the sonics of this record right?
Oh, because I didn't want any. It is a very serious topic in Muscle Shoals when you put any sort of branding or name in their area when it comes to music. You have to have authenticity that comes along with it. So I didn't want to disrespect the town. I didn't want to disrespect the efforts that that area has made in music. You know, I didn't want to disrespect fame. It was important for me to be able to snag those sonics to make them feel like, okay, we have a stamp of approval on this kind of record. He's got the right writer, he's got the right studio, and he's got the right band setting. So it was just important for me to be able to nail that down.
I love it. So I'm assuming that Avalon Avenue is in Muscle Shoals.
So it's the street name that Fame is on. So Fame Studios is on Avalon Avenue.
Okay. Well, that was just the naive part of me. I'm like, I'm going to let him tell me instead of assuming. Yeah. So.
Yeah. At first, the label wanted to call it Muscle Shoals. And I was too scared to name it that because it's such a legendary town. I don't ever want anybody to feel like I'm misconstruing such a legendary area by saying like, Sam, bro, I'm Muscle Shoals. Yeah. Like I'm not, you know? So I figured the softer route of that was I did take inspiration from their town. I love that town so much. I always will. And I'll always have a special place for me. And I just wanted to be able to honor it by just, you know, giving it a little bit of location, you know, not taking the whole location.
Yeah, right. Enough intrigue that I'm like, so I'm assuming that's in that town. So besides the album that's been doing so well, and I've been loving looking at, you know, all your fans commenting and wanting more and feeling so connected, why is it so important to also put your own personal story into your project?
I mean, I think that the greatest thing that has happened in our era of music is authenticity and a artist being able to be completely genuine to the people who connect to their stories and music, and there is no filter in between them anymore. Like, we can do this, you know, back in a long time ago before technology in the eras of music, you know, the only kind of connection that a fan had listening to a record was listening to the record. They couldn't then deep dive more into the person. So for me, that's what's making it, you know, I've always wanted to, the greatest thing that I've ever heard in a writing room was write from a selfish place and you'll realize that you're not alone. And yeah, it's like the best thing that I've heard. And so like, that's where I've kind of really driven my music. The more creativity and the more allowance I've gotten as an artist from my label to be able to kind of deep dive and do what I need to do, the more I've taken advantage of that. So I just want everybody to feel like after they listen to 12 songs of me, even if they're hearing me for the first time, if they're listening to Avalon Avenue, they can understand me more as a person and feel like they know me more as a person than as an artist.
I love that. And I think that's one of the reasons you and I get along and why I've loved your music for so long is because it's just no bullshit. You know what I mean? It's you through and through. So kudos to you, but you are keeping yourself so busy. And I'm getting the idea that you are taking that idea of let's kind of amplify, authenticity in those artists, because you opened your own record label, or you did something that not a lot of people want to do or, you know, have the balls to do. So can you chat with me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I met Johnny Gates during the pandemic. Him and I became really fast friends just because I was such a fan of him. And then he invited me to meet his publisher, David Robkin, and we sat down and we had lunch in Philadelphia, which is where David's from, at one of his restaurants. And it felt like no other meeting I've ever had ever in the industry. It felt just way more family than it ever did corporate or business. And so I became intrigued with knowing David more. And as he was watching me with Johnny, he became more intrigued to know me more. And so Johnny did this big like coming out party as an artist and signing to Deluge, because we were coming out of the pandemic and no one got to celebrate that. So he played a show at the Analog and I went, and I'm watching all these like, you know, Nashvillean suit people be at the bar, and they're like all trying to talk to David. And as Johnny starts his set, I watch David walk away from all those people and go and sit down at a table and pull out his phone and just sit there and watch Johnny and film it the whole time. And I got goosebumps. I was like, man, no one's like that. No one in this town has that amount of passion. I mean, there's a lot of people in town that are passionate, but at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, books and numbers. David was addressing it more as, you know, as a fan and as someone drawn to the music. And so we talked more, and then David wanted me to sign publishing over at Deluge. And I didn't want to at first because, you know, for so long I had deals where I would do things and you know, people weren't listening to the songs or whatever. So I just figured, well, I'll just own this money myself then. And David was like, what else could I give you to entice you to want to come over here? And I said, well, I'd like to be able to sign other people. And he said, cool, well then sign with Deluge, and then I'll give you your own partnership and let you open up Grow House Publishing. I'll fund that and you can sign other people. So it was a dream scenario, you know, for me. And we did that for a little while, and then David called me one day and was like, saw what I was doing on the production end with different artists and writing. And he goes, hey, if you started a label, like what would you want to do? Like what kind of things would you want? So I told him, he was like, and what's the dream scenario deal as an artist? If you saw it come across your desk, what would make you want to sign it? So I told him those things. And then he said, well, let's do it. Let's start a label. And now I'm thankful, because I've told Brad, my manager, forever. I was like, if there ever was a label in town that was just completely honest and can show an artist in the beginning works, how they make music, how they make money off of music, how they brand music, it would be an awesome first step for them to have someone who is be able to be honest with them and learn their craft. So we started Deluge Records Nashville. We signed Blake Wood and Alexandria Korn. And I'm really excited about having an avenue in town now where I can help artists kind of skip some of the mistakes that I made, you know, in the beginning of my career.
I love that. I mean, I know when I first met you, God, two years ago? Oh my God, almost 3 years ago now. You were saying those same things. So I am so excited that this is finally kind of happening, and then that you're kind of bringing people into your wing. So like, kudos to you. That's wonderful. But I want to talk to you about your tour. What can fans expect? What are you excited about?
So this is the acoustic tour. And this came about because we, every year in the last quarter, we do this thing called Backyards and Bonfires, where I travel around to different people's houses and play in their backyards. And I don't like to use the word fan. So I call everybody who follows me family, because they, one, allow my music to be in their life every day, and they, you know, reach in their pockets, support, you know, financially my dreams and goals. That's not what a fan would do. That's what family does. So I have a waiting list every single year where those family members get a chance to have me come and play at their house for them and their friends. And so I do that. Well, when they didn't start making, when some people couldn't make the list because we didn't have enough dates, we'd run out. They were like, could you please do an acoustic show anyway? So we changed it to where first quarter, we started last year. This is our second year. We're in the first quarter, me and Alex just go and play acoustic shows across the country. So then the people who didn't get a chance to have me come and play at their house, and come see me in public and watch the show. But it's cool. I go through, you know, my entire set and all the stories that are attached to each song, play a couple songs that aren't mine, but have stories attached to my life and that sort of thing. So it's like an evening with kind of thing. And I sit and talk. And then after the show's over, I go out into the audience and hang out with everybody and, you know, have a couple of drinks and talk to them and learn more about them too. So it's just a more intimate show. And I really, really enjoy them. It's been my favorite thing that I've done in my career.
I think the thing that I have, and I've always known this about you, but I feel like we've definitely solidified that this is like one of your pillars of just who you are in your career, is you are so fans first. Why do you think in this day and age, it is so important to be fan forward facing?
Well, without them, we don't get to do this. You know, like I think that there is a certain aspect in some people's mentality that I don't know how they develop that, but they feel like, you know, they come out on a stage and they're like, you're welcome. Yeah. Where, you know, I've never really been drawn to those kind of artists. For me, we all get to do what we love. It's an absolute dream. Like, it really is a dream to get to wake up every day and do music. And I know that the only reason why I have that is because of God and the people who listen to my music. If they didn't listen to it, I wouldn't have a job. So it's important for me to be able to know who they are. I at least want to be able to shake their hand and tell them, thank you for letting my music be in their life. That will always be important to me. More important than anything else is, you know, the person that has 15, 20 minutes to drive to work, and out of all the music that they can listen to, they decide to put on one of my songs, like, especially if their kid's in the car. Now they have their kids listening to my music. So those little scenarios have always just been just, I feel eternally grateful and thankful for those little moments. So, you know, that'll never change for me.
I want to take another moment to share even more about Good Sentiments. This candle line is really special. Partnering with your favorite musicians and their favorite charities makes every Good Sentiments candle the perfect gift for any country music lover and any occasion. Some of my favorite candles are Slot Machine by Caleb Lee Hutchinson, Come On In by Track 45, and Yours Tonight by Walker County. There are so many more to choose from, and $5 from every candle sold goes to a worthy charity. Get yours today at shopgoodsentiments.com.
Good sentiments.
That's all the country news I have for you this week. Visit allcountrynews.com for more news and content from your favorite artists. I'm Rebecca Porter, signing off for All Country News.
My name is Rebecca Porter. I run Women of Country Edits and Marin's Girls on Instagram. Both seek to celebrate women in the music industry and all things girl power. Thanks for listening.
The All Country News podcast is produced by Horseshoe Media. You can submit your artist, organization, or event to us at allcountrynews.com for a chance to be featured. If you loved this episode, please rate and review our podcast wherever you're listening. Shout out to our friends Track 45, who recorded our amazing theme music for this podcast.
All Country News. For more, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at All Country News. Visit us at allcountrynews.com to join our birthday club, where you just might get a huge surprise from one of your favorite artists on your birthday. Subscribe to our weekly industry newsletter to get all the news you just heard in this podcast even earlier, delivered straight to your inbox. And check out a new episode every Tuesday right here. All Country News.